We called it Senior Skip Day. It was really the worst kept secret in all of high school. It actually made it onto the school calendar, but it was a day, probably early May, where all the seniors in high school were skipping school. We organized this thing so that we would go to the roller coaster capital of the world, Cedar Point Amusement Park. If you've never been there, you need to go there. If you love roller coasters, you have to go there. Now, there probably were a few seniors who went to school that day, but you know what? If you were cool, if you wanted to be liked, if you wanted to have fun, then Senior Skip Day had to be the place that you were going. Have you ever skipped school? Guys, you see a show of hands, people who have skipped school. Some of you guys have. Some of you, maybe you've skipped. I've never skipped school besides Senior Skip Day, but I have skipped a few classes. How many of you skipped a few classes? Any of you? Yeah, just kind of like, I'm not going. All right, well, it's crazy the way I skipped class because it was in high school, and I was doing the electrical engineering, you know, the 2 years of vocational electrical. So they had asked me and my friend Steve if we would go, this is what they asked us, would you guys be willing to go on the roof of the school and check the cable TV that's coming into the school because it's not working for some reason? We're like, well, yeah, of course we would. They gave us a key to this utility room. Inside this utility room was a pop machine and a snack machine. And so we had, oh man, we loaded up. Yeah, because who knows how long you're going to be up there. So we got pop and we got snacks and we had to climb up this ladder that was mounted to the wall, go through a trap door to get up onto the roof of our school. Yes, the school sanctioned this thing. Isn't this crazy? Could you imagine this happening today? This was way back last century, okay, but it was not that long ago. So we got up on the roof, and as we got about to our second Mountain Dew, we realized this is a very long cable. It's going to take us a long time to be able to kind of figure out if all the connections are good and sound. And so it took us the rest of the afternoon to check the cable TV going into the school. Our assessment was that the cable is fine, but the school should probably pay for their cable TV coming into the school, and they could turn it back on. That's what we came up with that day. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a sensitive issue. For the sake of our series called Summer School, I'm calling it Skipping School. But it really is talking about skipping church. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the times where, you know, you miss church or you miss a service because you're sick or you're out of town, you're traveling, or work schedule has just gotten crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. No, what I'm addressing is a growing issue in the Christian world. Maybe you know friends who have said things like, I'm done with church. Maybe you know people who have said, I don't really need to go to church because I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe they've said, I've had it with organized religion. Or they have said something like, well, the church is a man-made invention. It's not God's idea. Some of the people who make these statements used to be leaders in their local church. And somewhere along the way, they, for whatever happened, they stopped being worshipers of Christ. And they've become critics of His bride. Now, I will be totally honest with you. The church can be a messy place, can't it? The church can be disappointing. The church can be frustrating. The church can be flawed. At times, the church can be deeply hurtful. There's a reason for that. Largely, it's because people are messy. People are deeply flawed. People are disappointing, and at times people are also deeply hurtful, and we are on this side of heaven. Part of maturing in your relationship with God and maturing as an individual is when you come to the place of recognizing and owning your part of the problem. Because as messy and flawed and disappointing and hurtful as a church is, I have a part in that mess. Part of that is because of me. And so is every person who has abandoned the church. The imperfections that drive people away from church should actually amaze you. I mean, really, if you would think about it, that Jesus started the church with imperfect people, that should make us marvel at His incredible grace, that God would use ordinary, broken human beings to be the vessels of His grace into the world, and He has no other plan to take His grace into the world. That is awe-inspiring. Frankly, I believe God is proud of how His grace is breaking through your imperfect but redeemed life. And He is excited about how it is working and how His grace is reaching more and more people through you, through your life. The idea that God would use me is just amazing. I mean, I can't get over it. God had other options, right? He could have shared the gospel in some other way. He can speak directly to people. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need the church, does He? But He chooses to use the church. He chooses to speak through us, His church, you know, as His vehicle for redemption. The fact is, for every one of us who are here and every one of us who have given up on church, the fact is God used an imperfect person from an imperfect church to reach your heart. That's how God works. Jesus never said we would be known by our perfection. He did say we would be known by our love. He did say that you know, our love for one another, that should be the captivating element of our lives. Love actually owns your mess. Love forgives others. Love is willing to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Love is willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to work towards a better tomorrow. This might not be good, but I am willing to commit to each other and to see God do some great things. Love says, I am ready to stay, and I'm ready to see God work through me and in me. And since I drove off the complete deep end on this whole thing. I mean, we can't touch bottom anymore on this subject. Here's something. For those who believe that the church is not a biblical idea, I don't think you've been paying attention. Because even you read the New Testament with one eye closed, and what you're going to find out is, yeah, there are four books in the New Testament that focus on Jesus, that He came, He lived and died and is resurrected for us, He's coming again. But what about the other 25 books of the Old Testament? Those other 25 books, they are written to churches. They are written about churches. They are written for churches. Not just the church, but the local churches, little churches like ours, meeting in different places and trying to find God's plan and trying to live out the ministry of Christ in their community. I mean, you have to be willing to say, you know, if you say forget the church, you're saying just forget the whole thing. You may as well say forget Jesus too, because He is the head of the church. And He said, I will build my church, and the kingdoms of hell will not prevail against it. For those who believe they can love God and reject the church, what you're really saying is, Lord, I love You, but I hate Your bride. How can you truly love God but hate the things He loves the most? The church is God's vehicle for us to grow. It's the means in which we grow in our spiritual life, that I not only grow, but we help each other to grow. Actually, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to read these words of the Lord to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. The author is writing about how Christ gave His sacrifice once and for all and has opened the ways for everybody who wants to come into a relationship with the Lord. He tells us in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How does the church enable us to grow in our spiritual lives? So I just want to give you five ways. Every time you come to church is a chance for you to draw near to God. Now, can you attend church and not draw near to God? Absolutely you can. I was the poster child for that trick. I mean, I would go to church every Sunday, and I knew when I was supposed to sit and stand and sing and kneel and genuflect and take communion. I had the whole thing memorized. And even though I knew all the routine and all the, you know, all the calisthenics of worship, it wasn't very often that I was drawing near to God through all of that. Not that I could not, but I did not. When we gather as a group of believers with the expectation that God is going to show up and God is going to speak to us, something great is about to happen. When the people of God gather and they draw near to God and they believe that God is here and that God is going to inhabit the praise of His people, something great is about to take place. When you draw near to God, you come just as you are. You don't have to have the best week of your life. It could have been the worst week of your life. You can still draw near to God. You may be on the mountaintop right now, or you may be going through the deepest valley of life. You can still draw near to God. For you, it may be that you come to church thinking you got to put on a mask. You do not. You come just as you are, because God knows you just the way you are. He loves you exactly the way you are. And if you come as you are, He will meet you right there. That's it, you know. See, something else, when you draw near to God, not only do we come as we are, but guess what? We meet Him just as He is. God is loving. God is kind. God is good. God is merciful. He's gracious. He is just. God is righteous and holy and patient and wise, and He is awesome. And we have the honor of gathering in His house with His people. And we get to meet Him exactly as He is. And when you come to church with a prideful, with a critical spirit, don't be surprised if you miss Him. You probably will, because you're not looking for Him. But if you gather with a local church, and you gather with Him, and you gather with a humble, expectant heart, oh, you be prepared, because God's about to show up. God is going to be doing some incredible things. See, and when you do meet God, you will not be able to stay the same. You'll be changed. That's what happens when the church gathers. When we draw near to God, God shows up. God speaks. God convicts. God comforts. God guides, God heals, God sets captives free, God does miracles. Now, can God do that when we're meeting alone with Him? He can. He's God. He can do anything He wants to do. But time and time and over again, God chooses to meet in a particular way as His children gather and they draw near and they want to worship Him. That's what happens. That's how God does it. I'm not here to defend it. I'm just telling you, this is what God does. If you miss church, you miss Him. Second way attending church helps us grow is that we strengthen our faith when we gather together. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." Last Sunday, I was not here in church. I miss seeing you guys. No, I didn't skip church, Dan. I went to church at Cedar Springs Camp. It was our final day of the family retreat. So my family and I gathered there on Sunday morning, and we were able to worship with them. Do you know what? The speaker was a man I'd never met before. We sang, most of the songs we sang, I've never sang those songs before. Most of the people in the congregation, I had no idea who they were. And there were things that they were doing there I didn't know. Well, I don't know if I'd do that in my church. But we did something together. And that service last Sunday morning that hearkened me back to my childhood. As we gathered there in that worship center, we did something that connected me with billions of Christians around the world. As we stood together, I was able to stand shoulder to shoulder with believers across the centuries. In spite of all the unanswered questions and problems going on in my own life and in the world, we, the believers, gathered as we drew near to God. We shared something that anchored us back to some truths that will never change. We stood together and we shared what's known as the Apostles' Creed. Some of you know it. Some of you don't. That's okay. For centuries, believers had declared their faith by proclaiming this summary of what we believe. And what we shared in that simple creed was proclaiming more truth than some sermons you hear. And I'd ask you if you would like to read this summary of our faith together with me. Please join me as we share the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for sharing that with me. But, you know, when we gather as a church, we strengthen our faith. Frankly, when we're attacked by the enemy throughout the day and throughout the week, frankly, it's easy to forget what we believe, isn't it? It's easy to forget what the point is when the arrows are flying at us all the time. It's easy when we're going through the storm to forget what anchors our soul. But when we proclaim what we believe together, we strengthen our grip on what matters most. This is our hope. What a beautiful summary of our faith. This is what we hope in. This is what we believe in. In spite of everything else that's happening in the world and all the crazy changes that are happening, these things will never change. And the reason that we hold on to our faith is because God is faithful. He's absolutely faithful. His promises are true. His word is right. His ways are perfect. His timing is impeccable. When our faith is getting attacked in the world, we need to gather. We have to get together. You know, to strengthen our faith, to hold firm to the hand that's not going to let us go. As we gather as a church, it helps us to all draw near to God. It's an opportunity for us all to strengthen our faith, because it's easy to forget. When I was in junior high, I ran the mile on our junior high track team, which is crazy because I'm not fast. I don't have a lot of endurance. I think the coach put me in the mile because I was not competitive at all in any of the other events, And the mile would keep me busy for the maximum amount of time. So he said, just go do that. Now, I wasn't the worst person out there, but I definitely wasn't the best person out there. And I still remember running there, the gun would go off, and I'd start running, and it wasn't before long before the leader is a half a lap ahead of me. You can see them coming, like, no, he is not going to lap me. He is not going to lap me. It was tough. The best I did all year was fourth place. Till the last meet. It was there at our it was a home meet. We had it at our own school. And the mile event came up, and so I got out there and I took my space. Why do people get into a three-point stance when they're running the mile? I do not know. What are you doing? It's a mile, okay? You're not sprinting. Why are they in the three? Never mind. So they started going, and of course the leaders, they get way out in front of me, and I'm pretty much in the same spot I always am, fourth place, trying not to get lapped. This is the last race of the year. I'm going to put a close onto a very dull chapter of running the mile in junior high. I'm on the very last lap, finally. Fourth place. And I come around towards the last turn, and I hear a voice up in the stands. It's my aunt. And she came to every track meet, home and away. She stood up in the stands. She said, "Come on, Bob, run! Come on, Bob, run, run, run!" And her, the impact of her voice, it shook me. And it to the point of realizing, okay, I'm going to run. And I started running faster. And somehow it was her voice that helped me to find a gear in my legs that I did not know was there. And I started pumping with all the remaining strength I had in my legs, and my footprints on that cinder track started making noise. And that kid who was right there in third place, he looked over his shoulder just in time to see me sprint and slobber my way right past him. And the crowd started erupting. My team was cheering me on. My coach, the whistle drops out of his mouth. He can't believe what is going on. So he starts leading the cheer, like, come on, run, Bob, run. And they cheered me all the way across the finish line. Third place. Yeah. But you know what? In the eyes of my coach and the eyes of my aunt, I just won the race. One of the reasons why we gather together in church is because we need to spur one another onward. Because, frankly, some of us are trying to go through the Christian life just like I was trying to go through that mile, just kind of easing my way through. And frankly, one of the beauties of the church is that we are able to speak truth into the lives of each other. We're able to call each other to become more than what we ever thought we could be on our own. I see more in you. That habit doesn't have to be ruling your life anymore. Jesus is the ruler of your life. You know, that hang-up that you've had for such a long time, you don't have to be hung up with that anymore. You can give that to Christ. And that area of unforgiveness, it doesn't have to claim the territory that Jesus died on the cross for. And one of the beauties of the church is we call each other forward. We call each other onward. We call each other to become better than we ever thought we could be on our own. Because frankly, it's so easy to settle in the Christian life, isn't it? Someone once said, at times we need a pat on the back. Other times we need something a little harder, a little bit lower. And there's a lot of truth to that. We are called to spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds. That's what God has called the church to be. That's what happens when we gather as the church. A fourth way attending church helps you grow is that you have the chance to encourage each other. There are times that I get beat down. There are times that I am discouraged. It's easy to think that God's not working and He's not answering my prayers anymore. But you know what? Sunday still comes around, doesn't it? And there are days on Sunday morning I get discouraged that I'm down. But I've made a commitment to God that I'm going to be part of His church. As I come to church on Sunday morning, you know what I see? I should write a book, View from the Pulpit. I probably have to write that after I leave here and, you know, change the names and things. I wish you could see some of the things I see. So I see someone struggling with cancer, walking through the front doors of the church. It's a forced smile because of the pain they have, but they're smiling. They're glad to be in God's house. I see widows battling loneliness. They come to church, they find a friend. I see parents trying to relate to their kids, praying that God would help them to lead their kids into a relationship with Jesus. I see marriages struggling. I see young people trying to find their way in a very uncertain world. I see this from my vantage point here, and you know what? When I see you, I am so encouraged. I am so encouraged because I see you guys who are with the cancer and with the struggles and the parenting things and the battles that you have going on. I see you drawing near to God. I see you as you come to church and you're lifting up your hands in worship. I see you praying for one another. I see you laughing with each other. I see you loving one another, forgiving one another. I see you serving and supporting one another. I see you doing that to each other, and I see you doing that to me. And I am so encouraged every time I come to church. Does that mean everything's right? No, it's not everything's right. But in the midst of our mess, God is working beautiful things. And that encourages me. And I think, oh God, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of your family. Thank you for making this church my family. My biological family is at least 750 miles away from here. You're my family. You're my brothers, my sisters, my mom, my dad, my cousins, you're my family. And that encourages me so much. Why would I ever want to miss this? Is it because we all have it together? That we all got things all figured out? No. But there is something that's going on deep in our souls that we're like, dear God, I know that you are working in me. And through my broken words, through our broken lives, God is doing beautiful things, and that encourages me. Yeah. It's true. You can become a Christian outside of the church. You can. There's some of you. You became a believer in Christ. You were not in a church service when you gave your heart to Christ. You can become a believer outside of the church, but you cannot remain one without the church. Do you know that? You cannot remain a follower of Christ without the church. The church is the body of Christ. If you cut off your hand, which is going to survive, the hand or the body? The body is going to suffer, that's for sure, but that hand is going to die. And if you cut yourself off from the body of Christ, yes, the body of Christ will suffer. We are better when we are here together. But if you cut yourself off from the body, we will suffer. But you will die. Your spiritual life will shrivel up. That's what happens. You know, you won't make it. You will fall away from Christ. You will stop walking with Him and you'll start making excuses for yourself. You will be a sad casualty in a much bigger spiritual warfare. We are better together. We accomplish more together. For crying out loud, We're going to be giving clean water to Africa, to boys and girls that we will never see this side of heaven. We're doing that together. You know, we advance the kingdom of God faster together. We seek and save the lost together. We change lives together. We see habits overcome. We do that together. It's that beautiful thing that we see marriages restored. We see that together. We bring hope and life into our community and into our world together. We glorify God together. And this is only the beginning. Because we, the church, we're on our way to a wedding. And we are the bride. You ever think of that? In fact, the way that God is working in His church right now, He said He is working in such a way that He wants to make a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what He's doing in us. That's the perfecting work of the Holy Spirit inside of us now. He's leading us to an incredible day, because the day is coming soon when Christ Jesus will crack the eastern sky. And He will call His bride to the wedding feast. And He will lead us through the gates of heaven, down the streets of gold. And then together the bride will forever be with the Lord. That's what's happening until that day. Yes, on that day. You know, the church triumphant and the church universal will be gathered together. But until then, we will gather. We will draw near to God. We will strengthen our faith. We will spur one another on. We will encourage one another. That's what we will do. Because all of this prepares us for His coming. I love how Billy Graham put it. He said, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ was thought of as doomsday preaching, but not anymore. It is the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to take His bride to be with Him. In your journey with Jesus, don't be skipping school. You need the church. The church needs you. We are so much better together. Make the gathering of believers the highlight of your week. Develop in your heart an I can't wait for church attitude. That's a choice you can make, you know. It's not saying, oh, because, you know, well, you know, pastor's got this issue going on or they're doing these changes and blah, blah, blah. No, it's because I get to gather with the believers and I get to worship Jesus. That God is going to bless me, and He's going to bless me to bless other people. Draw near to God. Strengthen each other's faith. Spur one another on. Encourage each other. Prepare for the King. The great composer Puccini was stricken with cancer in 1922. He was determined he was going to finish one final opera that many believed was his best, Rondo is how they say it. He worked hard on that for a couple more years, but in 1924 he was taken to Brussels where he was to be operated upon. 2 days after that surgery, he died. His final opera left unfinished. Before the surgery, his students, they were encouraging him to stop, to rest, to save his strength. He said, oh no, I'll write as much as I can and then my students will finish. The opera was left unfinished. His students, they did complete that opera. And in 1926, the gala premiere was held in Milan. Under the baton of Puccini's favorite student, Arturo Toscanini. Everything was going brilliantly well. The orchestra and the singers, they all were following the score perfectly. But they got to the point of the score where the master had to lay down his pen. At that moment, the student, he set his baton down on the podium, turned to the crowd, and his face was wet with tears. He cried out, "Thus far the master wrote," but he died. And all was quiet for a moment. But then the student composer, conductor, his face turned into a smile. He picked up the baton and he said, "His disciples have finished his work." Do you know what? Our master, Jesus Christ, he died. He rose again from the grave. He has ascended to the Father's right hand, and he is coming again. And he has given us the privilege of finishing his work, of finishing the work of proclaiming the great salvation of Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, our community, to the world. To do that, each of us, we have to make some commitments, a commitment to the Lord. That I'm going to be in a relationship with God that is growing, that is changing me, that I'm becoming more and more like Christ every day. But we also make a commitment to each other. That I'm going to be part of His family. That I'm not just going to be kind of a spectator in church, but I'm going to be a participant. I'm going to bring my gifts. I'm going to offer my talents. I'm going to give what I have for the work of Christ and His kingdom through the body of Christ. And together as a body, we commit to know and to love and to follow Jesus wherever He takes us. Let's celebrate the honor of being part of His kingdom, part of His family, to gather in His house this morning. Please pray with me. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You for the great honor of being in Your house this day. Thank You for the privilege of being called sons and daughters of the King. I know there are some here this morning that this may have been their first time or first few times of gathering with us. And I'm grateful, Lord, that they are here. And I'm grateful that You are ministering to them. And we just pray that You would continue to guide them in a new walk in Your ways. Lord, I pray for those who have been here for a long time and for those who are, they're part of the church, and I just celebrate You, but I just want to pray that You would help us as the body of Christ, those who have been here for a while and those who haven't been here very long, that we would commit ourselves fully and completely to You, that we would be the bride of Christ, that as the day comes nearer each and every moment, that we would be people who spur each other on, who encourage one another by our presence and participation through the ministry of the local church, that we might see Your kingdom come and Your will be done. And Lord, I just want to pray for those that perhaps right now that they're outside of the church. They have willingly walked away from the body of Christ. Or maybe they still attend a local church, but in their heart, they're already gone. I pray, oh God, that You would help them to realize how much You grieve for their hearts and the hope that You have for them to become once again the individual that You called them to be, the member of the body of Christ that's active and growing and blessing and encouraging and spurring others on together. Lord, help us all to walk in a manner that demonstrates that we have been with the King and we've been blessed by being a part of His family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.